Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is another Give Yourself Goosebumps Choose Your Own Adventure. This is The Knight in Screaming Armor, recorded on Ustream right now with Christian, Brett Knuckles, and Lucas Lady? And Lucas! Alright. The general protocol with these is we start from the start and get to a proper ending, as opposed to just, you know, you died, fucko. It's high school. Because no one can pronounce your name. One time I knew a guy named Jeffrey, and then I had to read his name, and this is elementary school, and I called him Geoffrey, and I was very ashamed of myself. Alright. There's no chapters, so I can't sing. Chapter the beginning! Pip pip! Ta-ta! Jolly good! Tally-ho and all that rot! Your dad exclaims. Dad! You plead? Please! So sorry! He apologizes in his best British accent. We just want your cousins to feel at home, don't we? It's not every day we have visitors from England. It's been over a year since we've seen them. Jolly good! Ta-ta! Pip-pip! Your dad says again. Yes, your mom adds, your Uncle Will is giving lectures at several important American museums. What the fuck's up with Goosebumps and museums? Anyway, so Kip and Abby will be staying with us for a whole week. Isn't that terrific? You only half agree. Kip Saxton is your age. Sometimes he complains too much, but mostly he's a pretty cool kid. He likes to know British things and doesn't afraid of anything. Alright. His 15-year-old sister is another story. Abby acts like she's queen of the world, you say. She can be a royal pain. Oh, you'll have fun, your dad assures you. Uncle Will says Kip and Abby are bringing a big surprise with them. A surprise? You ask. What surprise? Turn to page two! Motherfuckers! Before your dad can say another word about the surprise, the doorbell rings. They're here, your mom calls from the front hall. She opens the door as the airport shuttle van pulls away. Your cousins are standing at the doorway. You haven't changed a bit, your mom declares as she hugs Abby and Kip. This is where I check to see if it's recording on the Cool Edit Pro. License to Marco Hardmeyer. Thank you, Marco Hardmeyer. All right, sorry. I hope that's not true, you mutter. Your tall blonde cousin is already staring past you and into the mirror behind you. Hi, you manage to say to her. Abby primps her long golden curls before she answers. Ah, hi, she says as she pats her hair about 100 times. I'm from California, I can't do British accents. I can only do the annoying California girl accent that I use for everyone. So, alright, sorry. Ah, hi, she says as she pats her hair about 100 times. Still the same old Abby, you have to admit. Forget her, someone says, laughing. It's Kip. Can you give me a hand? We've got more stuff to bring in. Your sandy-haired cousin moves back out on the front step and points to two huge wooden crates. The crates are taller than your dad. What the? You start to say. Artifacts, your dad chimes in. Uncle Will is coming here next week to lecture at the Medieval Museum downtown. I told him we'd store some exhibits here until he arrives, but I never expected anything this big, heyo. These crates will have to go in the garage. What's in the crates anyway? You ask Kip. Sorry. Alright, we're still going. Sorry, there's no choices yet. Two suits of armor, Kip says. That's what's in the crates. They're really old, from the 15th century. We call one of them the Evil Knight. It's been with the Saxton family forever. The other suit was Sir Edmund Saxton's. He's our great, great, great... Well, you get the picture. The crates are on wheels. You, Kip, and Abby and your dad pull them down the driveway to the garage behind your house. You notice a label on one of the crates. Hey, look at this, you cry. You read the label aloud. Beware this dark and evil knight. Curse still from long ago, until a good knight fights for right. This knight brings misery and woe. That's kind of spooky, you add.
No, don't read that out loud, Kip cautions too late. It's an evil curse on the whole Saxton family. A curse? You laugh. You don't believe in curses, do you? Sure I do. And so should you if you know what's good for you, Kip whispers. I guess you've never heard the tale. God damn it, page 4. No choices. The tale? What tale? You ask. The legend of the curse of the knight in screaming armor. I know you want to make decisions. I want you to make decisions too, god damn it. Kip answers. Years ago, an evil sorceress got angry at the king's best knight, Sir Edmund Saxton. You know, our ancestor. He killed her favorite dragon or something. Anyway, she put a curse on him. The curse of the knight in screaming armor. She made a special suit of armor and sent it to him as a gift. The armor was haunted. It held the spirit of an evil knight. That night, horrible screams and cries were heard from Saxon Castle. In the morning, Sir Edmund and all his family had been killed. Kip's eyes grew wide as he goes on. All of his family was dead, except for one son. He had been out hunting. Anyway, he kept the armor. He was too scared to throw it away. The four of you arrive at the garage, and your dad reaches down to open the door. This is that armor? Family legend has it that one day it will wake up again, thirsty for Saxton blood. Then it will destroy all that is good, unless a brave and noble Saxton can defeat it. It has to be a member of the Saxton family. Ha! You laugh. I'm related to you, so I'm a Saxton. What's an evil knight suit of armor going to do to me? Turn to page 96. This one's got a choice and it's short. All right. You can just forget that screaming armor story. Abby snaps before Kip gets a chance to answer you. It's totally stupid. It's not even true. But long after everyone has gone to sleep, you lie awake, thinking about the crates in your garage. Hours later, you've dozed off when you are awakened by a chilling scream. And it's coming from the garage. The curse. Curse. You gasp. All right. If you try to ignore the scream, turn to page 13. If you investigate the chilling shriek, turn to page 19.
So we're going to go see what the scream was. We're going to investigate. Or not 19.
All right, let's check this shit out.
Here we go.
Scree! Another shriek fills the night. Kip and Abby are as wide awake as you are. The piercing screams draw the three of you at your bedside. You grab each of your cousins by the hand. We have to go to the garage and investigate, you declare. We have to find out what's out there. Another scream pierces the air. Abby forgets how much cooler than you she is for a moment and clutches one of your arms. It's not incest if she lives across the Atlantic, am I right? Sorry. Kip grabs your other one. You grab a flashlight from your desk and make your way out into the night. You pull your cousin along behind you. Eventually, you come to the garage door. You pause for a moment and listen to the screams. Well, here goes, you say. You reach down, grab... Really? Here goes? Not even... Okay. You reach down and grab the handle and lift it open. Lost audio? Did the audio go out for everyone? Christian, back? All right, we're good now, we're good. I got a pop-up message that pop-up was saying that the audio's out. Fuck! Sorry. Whatever, they walk around and I made an incest joke. That's pretty much what you missed. Better? This one has a choice. The garage door swings up and out of your way. Dark was never as dark as this. Monsters seem to lurk in every corner. Familiar forms look strange. The beam of your fleshlight cuts past the frightful shadowy figures to the two crates. They stand like tombstones in the middle of the garage, except that one of them is vibrating, shaking back and forth. The light reflects off a label on one of the crates, the one with the curse on it. Then you notice other handwritten label near the top of the crate. One says, "Evil night." The other says, "Good night."
"Good night."
"What? Which one should we open?" you say nervously. "Neither," Kip replies. He seems terrified, maybe a little too terrified. You're not sure you buy all this cursed stuff. Maybe it's all a big trick. Kip and Abby could have gotten someone to shout and shake the crate around. Who's really in that evil night crate anyway, you wonder? Then again, those screams do sound pretty spooky. Maybe you should play it safe and open the crate marked "Good Night." A suit of armor could come in handy if there is some crazy curse. Oh my. If you open the crate marked "Good Night," turn to page 33. If you open the crate marked "Evil Night," turn to page 49.
Okay, wait, are we going "Good Night" or "Evil Night"? Evil. Okay, we got one evil, one good. Yelling "Let's do this" does not help me. I'm drinking an orangey boom right now. I was drinking a simpler times, and before that I was drinking some vodka. Where are we going? "Good Night, Evil Night." "Good Night, Evil Night." It's a Dutch beer. So we all go, wait, are we torn down the middle? Good or evil? Everyone just say good or evil, we'll go. One, two, three. Majority says evil. There we go, page 49. Eh? Audio? Eh? Eh? Alright, heyo. Alright, I'm going to have to edit this out. We're going to Evil Night, page 49. Okay, the fun's over, you declare. You move over to the crate marked "Evil Night" and start to loosen the straps holding it shut. It's still shaking a little, but the screaming has died down to a faint moan. You really had me going there for a minute. You continue, those screams sound pretty scary. And all the moaning and shaking, wow, you guys are good. Kip and Abby look as if they don't know what you're talking about. But you know better. Who did you get to help with this little prank anyway? My dad?
I got it maxed out.
Okay, whatever, alright. I'll just yell. That's my...
Fuck, really? What the fuck?
How come it does that all the time? Alright, we're good? Audio? Alright, fuck, this is going horribly.
Your dad is just the sort of goofball to go in for something like that, too. You fumble with the leather straps, but you finally get them undone. By now, you're chuckling to yourself. It was a really good prank, complete with these oversized crates. Still, you can't believe you fell for it. Speaking of falling, that's what the front door to the crate does next. It's also what your lower jaw does. It falls open. You try to scream, but all that comes out is a little whimper. There, in front of you, about a foot from your face, you stare into the laser light eyes of the night in screaming fucking armor.
Ah, turn to page 16. Ah, page 16.
The evil knight's head is a steaming hunk of black metal. A sparkling medallion hangs around his neck. Something about his medallion holds your gaze. You can't stop looking at it.
I swear to God, fucking...
Who's holding my dick? Okay. You can't stop looking at it.
Every time I talk too loud, it maxes out and mutes it. That's what's going on with the audio with this horrible shit. Hold up. Alright. We good, though? On audio? Sorry, god damn it.
Something about his medallion holds your gaze. You can't stop looking at it. With you standing there helpless before him, the evil knight raises his heavy sword. And he brings it down and slashes open the back of the crate behind him. The wood shatters like ice. In the land of the Saxons, you shall be destroyed.
I assume he's like an 80s folk metal band.
His voice booms over you. You shiver. He glances back at you and then disappears through the new opening. You're not sure how long you stand in shock. The next thing you know, Abby and Kip are standing next to you. Did you see that? That shit? You stammer. Yeah, no big deal. Abby tries to sound cool. Look, Kip exclaims. This hole in the back of the crate. There are hills in it.
Oh, very Narnia.
Alright, sorry.
Yeah, right. What does that mean? Abby huffs. But he's right. You peer through the hole. You see emerald green hills and a pale blue sky. You feel wind against your face like a hot load of semen. You feel yourself drawn to the scene like you were to the medallion. We'd better go through, you say, without taking your eyes off the scene before you. If not, we'll have to break this cursed thing. You push aside the splinters and step through. Page 119!
Coaster!
Alright. Kip and Abby follow you through the hole in the back of the crate. When all three of you are through, something slams shut behind you. You turn to look, and the crate has disappeared. All you see around you are hills. Soft, green, rolling hills. It's so beautiful, you say. It's a whole new world. A new world we found inside a crate. You rub your eyes, but it doesn't go away. It's our world, Abby exclaims. We're back in England. It's exactly where the evil knight wants us to be, Kip said softly. England, the land of the Saxons. England. Who cares, Abby says. We're home. We can go to the mall and build boys and do cocaine that we don't pay for because we're hot girls. Mwah. Don't look so happy, Kip warns. The evil knight wants to destroy us. He may be home for good. Or should I say, for evil.
No, you should say for good.
You gaze around you, stunned. There's no way to explain what just happened to you. Hundreds of sheep are grazing on the nearby hill. One wild-looking ram glances up at you. Your heart jumps. His eyes are glowing, you cry out. Your pulse starts to race. The horned head of the ram morphs into the armored head of the evil knight.
What the fuck? There's a ram that looks like a knight. I don't know why the audio is horrible. I think I caught it quickly this time. One look at the ram glances up at you, your heart jumps.
His eyes are glowing! You cry out. Your pulse starts to race. The horned head of the ram morphs into the armored head of the evil knight. He lowers his... God damn it.
He lowers...
His head and paws to the ground. Steam pours through the grill on his helmet. He's going to ram us, you cry. Ram us like Uncle Johnny. Run for your lives. Page 97.
I can see where the audio loss is. The little bar that's right there goes down. Got it. 97.
Led by the evil knight, the whole herd of sheep stampedes. Terror grips you as the thundering herd bears down on the three of you. You're about to be trampled. The stampede sounds like a sonic boom. You wrap your arms around your head and wait to feel the pain of 100 little hooves pounding you into the grass. So this is how he plans to destroy you, you think. You open your mouth to scream, but you can't hear anything over the thundering of sheep feet. Then, suddenly, there's nothing but the sound of screaming. Your own screaming. You peek through your arms. The stampeding herd is gone. The hills are gone. All that's left are prickle brushes. You're buried in prickle brushes. And they hurt. 132. There better be some goddamn choosing here. I know. There's choosing. Okay, Ouch! Abby cries. She breaks herself free from the prickly bush. You can't help laughing. Abby's a human pincushion. She has little prickly leaves stuck all over her. Ouch! You and Kip say together as you fall out of the bushes. You find yourselves looking like two porcupines, too. You hear giggles, and they're not Abby's. You glance over your shoulder and see something you never imagined to see. Two miniature men are laughing and bucking and rolling on the ground. Each man is about the size of a football. They laugh and smack their knees and point at you. Pixies! Kip cries. Pixies? You say. You've got to be kidding me. The little men disappear for a minute. They resurface in the bushes close by. This way out, one giggles, pointing to the left. No, this way, says the other one, pointing to the right. Which one can you trust? Follow the pixie pointing to the left on page 32, or follow the pixie pointing to the right on page 100. Left or right? All right. Really? You're going to slow it down? Do we want left or right? Fuck that. Brett Knuckles' dick goes to the right. I'm saying that's an extra vote for right there. But, what are we doing? Okay, we got left and right. We got two rights. Ah, suck on that, Christian. Sorry. Page 100. Let's go to the right, Kip says, as he pulls prickles from his arms and legs. I don't like the look of that cottage over there. Why would anyone live out here in the middle of nowhere? A pixie giggles and the cottage disappears. Now it's over here, not over there. The pixie laughs. Do you like it over here? The cottage magically appears behind you. Or do you like it over here? Another pixie giggles as the cottage turns up and on your left. Over here? Over there. It doesn't really matter where. The pixies sing together. Where you are is where it's not. When a pixie spell, you've got... You should take the chance to hide, one sings, pointing to the magic cottage. The wicked one won't look inside, the other one sings. The sudden shrill shriek of the evil knight sets your feet running. If the evil knight destroys us before we can break the curse, no Saxon will ever be safe. You pant as you run. He's coming! Hurry! We've got to hide in that cottage over there, like it or not. 82. You run to where the cottage is, but it's no longer there. The nasty pixies keep moving it. Over here! The pixies giggle. Over there! Over here! Over there! Over here! Over there! Over here! Over there! Turn to 104. That was a useless, useless page. Alright. And this one doesn't have a choice again either. God damn it. It's no use, Abby complains breathlessly after running first one way and then the other. The cottage is never where it seems to be. I'm too tired to run anymore. So am I, Kip says, collapsing on the ground next to his sister. We'll just have to take our chances with the knight in screaming armor. I need some sleep. No, we can't sleep. You say I'm tired too. But if we sleep, the evil night will destroy us. Everything is quiet now. You fight sleep. Abby and Kip fight it too. But you can see they are losing. They both fall into deep sleep. Only you are awake to stand ground. A cloud rolls over the moon. It's impossible to see anything. Behind you, a crackling of underbrush signals a footstep.
Who goes there?
You shout into the darkness. No answer. The footsteps crush the brush again. You hear breathing. Closer, closer, slowly. You reach your hand out in front of you and toll to darkness. Your fingers touch.
Metal.
37. This one better have a choice. Or I'm going to keep reading it because it doesn't have a choice.
Ah!
I'll read it quickly. You scream when your fingers touch metal. Wake up! You hear Kip's voice saying, you're screaming! Abby shakes your arm. Wake up! Your eyes flutter open. Your hand rests on the cold metal of the shovel hanging on your garage wall. You've been sleepwalking. It was all just a dream. All right. It was all just a dream. Great. Okay. Kip says, we heard you screaming, so we ran to your bedroom. You got out of bed, put on a robe, and walked out here to the garage. We followed you just to make sure you were all right, Abby continues. You walked up the crates we brought and stood in front of them for the longest time. It was weird. We tried to talk to you, but you didn't hear us. Then you reached your hand out, touched the shovel, and started screaming again. Kip is laughing now because of the look on your face. You're surprised, embarrassed, and relieved all at once. Was it all a crazy dream? Turn to 120. I'm going. Yeah. I think the R.L. Stein... disappointing. You really had us going there, Kip says, as he and Abby follow you into the house. I told you not to tell those stupid stories about the knight in screaming armor. Abby scolds her brother. You gave our cousin nightmares. After a good group laugh, the three of you head back to bed.
Maybe this adventure could get interesting.
When you hang your robe over your desk chair, you notice little prickly leaves stuck to it. Huh? You say, where did those leaves come from? You wonder. There aren't any prickly bushes around here. Maybe it wasn't a dream at all. You climb into bed and pull your covers up to your chin. Your eyes are getting tired. You listen for a few seconds if any noises are coming from the garage. Nothing. Not this time, but before? You think as your eyes finally close, maybe. Oh well. Good night, you say, to no one in particular. Evil night, replies a voice next to your pillow. You feel a gust of hot air on your face. The end. Wow. What a bullshit turn of events on that one. Yeah. I'm not kidding. Yeah. You want to go back to another choice and see where we're going? You want to go left instead of right? See where that would have taken us? You want to go back to the very beginning, back to left and right, back to where? All right, let me save this audio file first before I fuck it up. All right, new track is recording. We're going to go back to the left and right, and, well, which way did we go last time? Damn it! We go left now, yes? Finally, I get to do more of my gay pixie jokes.
Let's go to the left, Abby says, pulling thorns out of her arms. There's a cottage down the hill. Maybe we can get help there.
Hello, am I the only one who thinks that there's something weird going on here? You ask. Abby and Kip can't hear you. They're already walking across the windy meadow toward the cottage. Pixies, you mumble to yourself. You take off after Kip and Abby. You don't get far when you hear a deafening rumble. It sounds like an earthquake. Hey, it's pretty tasteless right now. You see bits of turf flying across the... God damn it, the sound! Yeah, I fixed it right away. It sounds like an earthquake, Japan joke. You see turf flying in the air, you turn and look behind you to see
hedges.
Killer
hedges.
I used to volunteer at Comic-Con to get free tickets, and I used to work for the company that did Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and their entire company is still based off that movie. And like their like corporate offices are just posters of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's very, very sad. It's like the retarded cousin of trauma. Anyway, they're growing at an incredible rate. Actually, they're not so much growing as bursting through the earth in jagged lines. Walls of branches and leaves, and it looks as if they are heading right for you. It's time to start sprinting again, and there's no use screaming about it either. Now it's time to move.
God damn it. Anyway, I don't know why it screams.
There's some hedges out for you. I don't need to go back. Anyway. Hedges are exploding out of the ground, fully grown. They're spreading toward you with amazing speed. You're no match for them. They burst past you, blocking your path. You try to stop short, but not fast enough to avoid a face full of prickles. Kip and Abby, too. You start to run the other way, but you don't get far before you come up against another wall of hedge. It doesn't seem to matter which way you turn. Any open path is instantly blocked by a solid wall of high bramble branches. Prickers grab at you as you run past. Ah, too many pricks! Ah, the pricks are in my face! Ah, I didn't think camp would be like this! You shake them off. You give the pricks a shake job. And keep on running. You have to get out of here. The walls around you grow higher and higher, cutting the sky into lines of blue. The three of you race in every direction, but it's no use. You stop for a second to catch your breath. Fuck! The ground beneath you starts to rumble and shake. Ah! You scream. You can imagine the hedge about to explode through the ground and up through your body. You brace yourself, but then it stops. It's quiet again. That's coincidental. Except for Kip. We're trapped, he bellows. What do we do now? This is uncomfortable. My girlfriend's on the phone. Heyo, you're on Goosebumps.
Oh, hello.
Okay, what's going on?
Hey, I'm just giving you an update that I'm waiting at the doctor and there's not many people here, so I should be home soon.
Alright, well, text me in a little bit and call me if you're getting food or booze or anything.
Okay.
Alright.
Alright, bye.
Bye. It's not midnight, it's 8:14 here. I'm in San Diego. No, she's actually at the doctor because the kitten scratched the fuck out of her hands with a... And now she has cat scratch fever, essentially. She has infected kitten scratches. And people that go to the doctor at 8:14 are crazy, like the girlfriend. Ah, you scream. You can imagine the head about to explode through your ground up through your body. You brace yourself, but then it stops. It's quiet again, except for Kip. We're trapped, he bellows. What do we do now? I like how that one ends with, what do we do now? And there's no choice. That's such a fucking dick move. Alright, this one has a choice, and it's only like a paragraph. You stare at the walls of the greenery surrounding you. 420. The hedges are too high, you say. We can't climb over them. It's like a maze, Abby comments. You know, Kip, like they used to have at royal palaces and stuff, I wonder if there's a way out. Why is this just Narnia meets the labyrinth now? Oh my god, I love Bowie. We'll either have to find our way back out or break through the hedge. We can't stay in here forever, you say. Forever? Kip wails. Knock it off, Kip. You and Abby both cry. So what will it be? If you try to find your way out, turn to page 51. If you break through the hedge instead, turn to page 116. I'm actually going to veto any choices on this one and automatically go to find your way out because, No, why are we breaking through? Did you not see Labyrinth?
It's full of fucking Muppets and Bowie. No, I didn't see Pan's Labyrinth. Actually, I'm gonna have to go back to breaking things, though, because the next page is an activity of a maze, which I've never seen in a Goosebumps before, and I fucking refuse to sit here. Audio. Anyway, I fucking refuse to sit here and do a maze. So we're breaking through. Damn it. Okay. Alright. You want me to hold the maze? Alright, fine. So you think you're good at mazes, huh? Try to get yourself out of this one, faggot. Pick up a pencil and try to escape route around the maze below. Can you do it on your first try? Alright. Alright, we doing the maze? Alright. Here's the start. Damn it, this is not gonna go well. The camera is being moved. Alright, we start here. Alright, anyone have any suggestions? Down, okay. I can turn left right now, or I can skip a little bit and go left. Alright, that brings us back up to the start, but that's cool. Alright, I just did a circle. Now I'm going to go left here. Alright, we're going this way. Looks like we're making a little bit of progress. Let's go that way. Straight. Let's go down here. Doing this. Let's turn there. Do a barrel roll. Right there. Take some advice now, and we're gonna cut through some hedges as we were originally planning. Alright, so these ones. Those ones are gone. Okay. Alright, whistle to a cab. Alright. Alright, doing some of that. And some of this. And, looks like we made it through first try, guys. Alright, we made it through first try. Nice work. This is going to take a lot of editing. Alright. Page 75. Okay. The hedges are behind you. The green hills are in front of you. There's a warm wind on your face. And something is coming over your face. Oh, no, the hills. Hey-o! A dark black mist is rolling toward you. It's already halfway to where you're standing. I don't like the look of this. And a ghetto bird's flying over. I don't like the look of this, Kip says. The warm wind picks up. Dark clouds gather. Dust whips around in whirlpools. Evil is in the air around you. You look, you remark. Sooner or later, we're going to have to face this evil night. That's the only way to break the curse, right? Only a Saxton can defeat him. I'd prefer later than sooner. Bah, bah, bah. Kip starts to answer back like a little bitch. He never finishes his sentence. Scree! The scream of the evil knight announces his arrival. Turn to page 85. This one has an exclamation point, so you know they're serious about it. And has a choice. The evil knight's screams mingle with the whistling blast of hot wind. Far
You can almost feel his evil breath mixed in with the wind. You know he's so close the dark mist rushes at you. The force of the gale throws the three of you backwards against the hedge. But you don't feel the prickly leaves. You don't land on the ground where you were before. In fact, you don't land at all. We're falling! Hey, Bill!
Yes, Ted?
Let's play 20 questions! Alright!
I love Bill and Ted. There we go.
The three of you cry together, falling, falling, falling. If the chair you're sitting on has a cushion, turn to page 48. If the chair you're sitting on does not have a cushion, or you're just not sitting on a chair, turn to page 72.
All right. Are there cushions on the chairs you're sitting on? It's a very important question. That's a cushion? Wooden couch? Are you outside of a Cracker Barrel? I went to Cracker Barrel once. Went only... when I was in Ohio, and the lady, that was my the waitress was like, hey, do you want gravy on everything? And I was like, yes. And it was very sad and depressing. That's all. That's my one story of Cracker Barrel. Alright, do we got cushions or not? I got a cushion. One cushion for Dune.
Mm-hmm. We got two cushions, one no cushion. Christian was banging a waitress at Cracker Barrel.
Why is that so funny to me? She was your boss at GameStop? Did she rip you off on sexual games? Did she tell you she was newly sealed virgin, but then you totally realized that she just resealed her hymen in the back and was charging you double for it and marking it as new. Is that what happened when you... No? Oh, I know. Alright. Fucking GameStop. The worst story is when I was like 18, I applied at a GameStop and failed at it. Alright, I got a cushion. Are we going to cushion? Fuck, I'm gonna finish this beer. You guys figure out the cushion conundrum. I'm going with cushion, though.
Thump! You land on something soft. It's a body.
A human body.
Oh, please, get off me this instant! A regal-looking boy dressed in tights and puffy shorts pushes you.
Ooh.
Let me read this slower. A regal-looking boy dressed in tights and puffy shorts pushes you. Kip and Abby, which is you, Kip and Abby, off him. You all stand up and dust yourselves off. Who are you? You ask the boy. He looks your age.
I'm Paige, he answers the boy. Page 48 in a class of 140.
Get it? We're on page 48. That's the joke there. That one the listeners wouldn't have, you know, established.
A page? Abby asks. What's a page? We are knights in training, the boy answers proudly, and we're trying to get away from a knight. You remind Abby. Could you show us the way out of here? Kip asks. Page 48 points to a gate that opens by itself. That's the way out, he says. It's the Valley of Rocks.
You know what this also reminded me of? Do you ever see what was it? Return to Oz with the girl that was in the craft? No? No? Alright, fuck it.
Hurry! You order Abby and Kip. The gate is closing. You make it through the gate just as the gate crashes down behind you. You look back. Page 48 is gone. All you see before you is the night sky in a strange, mysterious valley full of rocks. Who's Katie?
Page 72. Oh, sorry. La-ta-ta. Oh, hey-o! I don't believe anyone's a girl on the internet. Excellent.
Alright. You've landed in a valley, but the green hills a moment ago are long gone. In fact, there isn't a blade of grass as far as the eye can see. It's all rocks, broken up in shards and boulders and stones and crack rocks. And it's dark. A pale moon shines up above. Abby tries to move and barely balances on a wobbly platform of stone. She shrieks. This is like an avalanche waiting to happen. Be careful, Kip warns. These flat rocks aren't as steady as they look. Yeah, thanks for the tip, Kip. Abby says, I think we noticed, you faggot. They're right. The rock you're standing on tips and throws you backwards towards a flat rock below. Whoa! You cry as your new rocky floor saws back and forth. You glance down. There are more jagged rocks waiting to catch you below. Next, you look up, and something flashes. High up on the rocky point of this mountain, something silvery shimmers in the moonlight. It seems to be calling you. What is it? Turn to page 28. This one better have a goddamn choice on it. Wait, are we talking about me and my face? Alright, 28. Where are you going? Kip asks as you carefully step off your rocking rock and onto his. Look up there, you say. You point to the gleaming object. I have a feeling whatever it is up there is something we need. I don't know why, but I have to find out what it is. I'm going up to get it. I'll come with you, Kip volunteers. Stop right there! Abby orders. Don't take another step. You're not leaving me alone. Oh, yeah. Abby's afraid of heights, Kip mumbles. I'll go by myself, you declare. You stay together here. Balancing on all fours, you move on the next rock. You feel as if you're climbing on eggshells. One false move and the rock you're on could crumble away. You would tumble all the way to the bottom. You test each rock before you move to it. It's amazing how many of them have jagged edges. Higher and higher you climb. Then you see it. A hand sticking up out of the rocks like the movie poster for Evil Dead.
Alright. 133.
I'm pretty sure this book's copyrighted as well.
This one has a choice.
You peer closely at the hand sticking up out of the rocks. It's only made of stone. That's when you notice that the rock you're standing on has a face! You yell. The stone face is frozen in an expression of pain. You move to another rock, but as you look around, all of the broken rocks are shaped like people. Broken pieces of fucking people! Abby! Kip! You cry, but there's no answer. You can't see them from where you are without losing your balance. What if they're turning into stone or something? You think. You call it again, but there's no reply. What's going on? Maybe they just can't hear you from down below, but maybe you should climb back down and check on them, just to be safe. If you keep climbing for the shimmering object, turn to page 124. If you scramble back down the mountain to help your cousins, turn to page 35. We got one climb, we got one scramble, now we need to something brambles. We got two scrambles, we got two climbs, and we got Robert making the final decision. Okay, we're gonna go look for our stupid-ass fucking cousins. Your cousins could be in trouble. Kip and Abby could be turning to stone this very minute. Don't move, you yell down to them. I mean, do move if you can. I'm coming down to save you. You take one last glance at the shining object. Rock by rock, you backtrack the way you came. It's harder to move downward, but there's no time to... God damn it, audio!
God fucking damn it.
Hey-o! Got the audio back. Alright, you take one last glance at the shining object. Rock by rock, you backtrack the way you came. It's even harder to move downward, but there's no time to lose. Mostly, you try not to think about what these rocks and boulders used to be.
They're people. That's what they used to be.
You set your foot against what used to be someone's shoulder. It jiggles under your weight, and then it flips up. You tumble headfirst down the rocky slope, headfirst for halos. Ouch! Ouch! Eek! Ouch! You yelp with each bump. Finally, you land with a crash at your cousin's feet. Turn to page 101. You lie there amongst the rocks for a moment. Your head is still spinning from your fall. Are you all right? Abby asks. We saw the whole thing. Kip says, with admiration.
Derp. I just screwed up admiration. I need to go cut myself. You know what? I read really well out loud, so fuck off.
All right. With admiration, I give it a perfect 10. You were fantastic. I thought you were turning to stone, you stutter. Ha! That's a good one, Abby laughs. We were just trying to keep still. We didn't want to start an avalanche while you were up there. Yeah, Kip explains. It's just like with snow. The slightest movement or sound might bring everything tumbling down. That's it, an avalanche. Kip, you're a fucking genius, you exclaim. I am? Hey, Ez! Abby looks amazed. What a bitch. An avalanche. That's the way to get him the shimmering thing. It will help us, I just know it. And if not, maybe an avalanche can help us get out of this horrible place. You exclaim. Before they can stop, you pick up a good-sized rock and throw it as far as you can up the slope. Pieces of rock start to cascade down the rock face. You, Kip, and Abby scramble to the edge of the slope, out of the way. Turn to page 121. We smoking Newports, yo? Dog.
If I didn't drink so much malt liquor, I would judge you.
Dune, yes. Dune drink. Okay. When the rumbling of the avalanche is done, you brush the dust off your face and glance around. In the light of the full moon, you see a trench in the middle of the hill. It worked, you shout. The avalanche has cleared a path. Look what I found, Kip says. He holds up a shiny metal key. It was right here under the rock. Kip, you're a genius, you say happily. Turn to page 134, where there better be a motherfucking choice.
Whoa, are you talking about my song, Chug? No, there's not a choice.
The three of you make your way up the path, all the way up and over the hill. Off in the distance, you see a cottage. It's that cottage again, you say. Then you have an idea of the key. Maybe it fits in the door of that fucking cottage. After walking all of the... After walking on all those rocking rocks, the trip to the cottage is easy. No pixies change your path, no sheep stampede, and so far there's no evil night in sight. Hurry, you call to Kip and Abby. You move quickly and quietly along the dirt road to the cottage. When you are a few feet from it, you stop to look at the cottage more carefully. It's a small two-story white house with a thatched roof, a garden... Oh, I just spit all over the book. A garden of petunias and snapdragons lines the curved stone walkway, leading to the heavy wooden door. I wonder who lives here, Abby asks.
It's quite stylish in an old-fashioned way.
She peeks into the windows.
It's too dark in there, she whispers. I can't see anything.
You knock on the door.
God damn it, sound!
Are you talking about bath salts or bath salts? You know what I'm talking about? Or no? Yeah? Never mind. Into this, fits in the dragon.
I can't see anything!
You knock on the door. There's no answer. You knock harder still. No answer. Try the key, Kip suggests. You put the silver key in the lock and try to twist your hand. 39. There better be a goddamn choice. You don't want to see my dong. It's small, but kind of red. The silver key fits perfectly in the lock, but it won't turn. I don't get it, you say. This key looks like it should go with this lock. No luck. You put the key back in your pocket. You step back from the door to search for another way in. As soon as you move away, the door slowly swings open.
Come in.
A voice of a very old man invites... Old man invites from somewhere inside the cottage.
I've been waiting for you.
I've been waiting for you. Waiting for us, Abby stammers. She peers into the darkened doorway.
But I don't see you.
Abby says, come closer. The old man says in a friendly voice,
it's been so long since I had some good company.
The three of you step into the cottage. The door slams shut behind you. If the slam makes you scream, turn to page 87. If the slam makes you jump, turn to page 105. This is an arbitrary choice. Okay. 87. We're all going to 87. Oh, wait. Oh, this one has a choice, so we're going there anyway.
You can't help it. The slam of the door makes you scream.
We didn't mean to scare you. It's the old man voice.
We?
You asked, did you say we? To answer your question, the old guy hobbles forward. You see his dusty boots emerge from the shadows, a pair of ragged canvas pants, and a cardigan sweater with holes appear. Then you see his face.
You're gonna be offended because of the next line, Christian, because you just appeared, but
talk about UGLY.
Alright.
Talk about ugly.
He crackles as he glares at you from a wrinkled, mole-covered face. This guy must be 100 years old, and he's looking at you funny. Then something catches your eye, something next to his grizzled old ears. It's another head, a horrible...
God damn it, audio.
It's another head! A horrible, warts-covered, puffy-eyed, junky, strung-out, fucking hooker-looking head with a squirming, dangling tongue. It's sticking out from right beside of his neck. You hear Abby squealing in terror! And there's another head on the other side, sticking out from his neck. As this one catches the light, you see a mouthful of slimy, rotting teeth. His bloodshot eyes roll around out of control. We didn't mean to scare you, the old man says. We meant to terrify you.
I just spit all over my fucking monitor.
If you can, run to page 98. If you're frozen in terror, turn to page 108.
Oh, goddammit. Alright. So, if you can run, turn to page 98. If you're frozen in terror, turn to page 108. We're going to 108. We ain't bitches. You sure you want to run? Are you sure? You sure?
You sure? It could be bad.
No, no, we'll go back. We'll save our lives. No running. We'll stay here. God damn it. I don't want to die. Oh, God damn it. All right. The other option ends a very similar way. Do we want to run and be men about this? What are we doing? They're both horrible options. All right. 108 it is. We're running. Fuck this. You know you should run, but for some reason your legs won't move. We're stuck, you yell. Stuck! You try to move your feet, but they're rooted to the ground. In fact, they are the ground. Kip and Abby can't move either. Their feet just as rooted as yours, and both of their bodies have started to turn green. They're getting thinner, too. Very, very thin. So are you. Old Mr. Triple Decker is casting his favorite spell.
Oh, he's got +3 mana with that staff.
He's mumbling some gibberish over there in the corner. You have become the latest addition to his garden. You look out from your petal-framed face, and you see petunias and snapdragons you passed on your way in. Funny, you didn't notice they have faces. He got you too, I see. A purple petunia rooted next to you says, no one knows the evil he sows. Curses! Soiled again! A zinnia teases. He's got all of us, Abby sighs, from beneath her rose-petaled bonnet. But at least I'm a rose. Looks like you're grounded this time. But life in a wizard's garden can't be all bad. Who knows? It might even grow on you. Herp derp. The end. You accept this fate? We're done? Or are we going back even more?
Ow.
More?
All right, well, let me, where the fuck with the last choice we're doing? We did some stuff. Killed some people. We were falling. And then we decided we were chairs on the cushion, so we went there. And at one point went to that maze where we won. And then we went to 72. Then we went to 28. Then we went to 133.
Okay, well, here's where we could have gone back. Here, you want to keep going, or we... What? If we want to switch things up, we can climb for the shimmering object, or scramble back down to the cousins. Are we doing that one? I'm going to go back, or are we done? Alright. You turn to page 386 and bang your cousin. Alright. So we bang the cousin here, right? And a cousin goes to, Wait. Look, it's young Dune. All right. I'm going to make my edit sound and keep going as we went up the hill there. This is my edit sound. Okay, here we go. 124, we're climbing towards the shimmering object. You may be climbing on pieces of people, but as rocks, they're not going to hurt you. Or you with them, for that matter. Kip and Abby are probably fine. Maybe they just can't hear you. If they're turning into stone, they're not going anywhere, are they? And you're not sure what you could do to help them anyway. You decide to keep climbing the last little bit up the slope. You'll grab that shiny object, whatever it is, while you've got the chance. You're almost there. The rock you're standing on is totally unstable. You have to do a real balancing act to keep from crashing down on the rocks below. Slowly, carefully, you reach for the silver object. It's long and shiny. When you've got a hold of it, you try to lift it up, but it lifts you up, up into the air. The shiny thing is a metal finger that's attached to the hand that's attached to the knight in screaming armor. And it's not... Fuck. Alright. Page 66. Wait, are we all checked out of this? Ah, I gotta finish it now. God damn. Oh, there we go.
Ah! You don't know who's screaming louder, you or the evil knight. You stare into his glowing eyes. You feel the steam of his breath on your face, and then he reaches out, lifts you up, and flings you.
Motherfucker. God damn it. All right. You feel a stream of his breath, and then he reaches out and lifts you up and flings you over the mountainside. Down, down, down you tumble. Your arms and legs bash against the sharp rocks. You can feel the bumps and bruises starting to swell even before you reach the rocky bottom of the mountain. At least you tumble to a stop next to the motionless figures of Kip and Abby. You don't move a muscle because you can't. You're stiff all over, and you're getting stiffer. And stiffer and stiffer. The end. And on that erection note, we are done with The Knight in Screaming Armor on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Seriously, thank you for helping out. We'll do this again, and I'll be drunker and better, and I don't know. Anyway, audio file, and stay spooky, bitches!